Radio.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and we have a very interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the show. As a matter of fact, we've gotten more questions for this guest than any other. So we could almost do a show sitting here and having Chris reading questions and I just sit back. But anyway, you know, we get lots of interesting letters from listeners. Some hate us, some love us, some are in the middle, some have constructive criticisms. So there was one message posted in our forums from somebody who probably doesn't like me because he resented these movie references that I make occasionally. And I regard movies as popular culture and sometimes as an indication of where people are in our society. And so I will mention a movie from time to time to put everybody in the same framework. So in the previous episode we did with Brad Steiger, this person thought I was trying to get attention from Hollywood.
Huh?
You know, guys, I'm too old for this stuff, you know? I don't want to use the word that Danny Glover used in the Lethal Weapon movies to use a comparison. There was a line he'd give in several of those movies, I'm too old for this, you know what, which we can't say on the radio.
You're doing it again, Gene.
Right, I'm doing it again. I don't care. But, you know, the point being that I don't care if Hollywood notices me or not. It's too late. You know, if they want to, you know, give a part to an aging baby boomer from Brooklyn, I guess I'm there. But
well, they can turn Rockoids into a huge blockbuster, multi-million-dollar production.
You know, I wouldn't mind that at all. But remember, my son's only 27, so he'll be around to see that happen. I don't expect I will. In any case, all right, people are entitled to their opinions, maybe not their facts, but there you go. And then we talked about Art Bell's failed Dark Matter radio show. Now, for whatever reason, he claims a dispute with SiriusXM, where he pulled the show after a few weeks. Now, we did make, you know, a few criticisms of it, number one being the most important, that he was trying to dwell on his success of the past for the show. Bring on the same old guests, like he was never away. I guess that's good or that's bad. I mean, if you want to hear those people, I guess you can get the shows on YouTube or somewhere. So I don't know if that's a value or not. You know, some people will say, what have you done for me lately? The only area where we criticize him, though, is where he took the name of Don Ecker's radio show, Dark Matters, and calls it Art Bell's Dark Matter. I thought that was a bad move because he knows Don Ecker. I don't understand why he did that and why he ignored any concerns voiced by people about the decision. I thought it's ridiculous. There got to be 1,001 names you could come up with for a paranormal radio show. But I'm not attacking him personally. It could be SiriusXM wanted him to use that name. I don't know. We know, of course, for example, that the use of names may not be in the control of the talent. Look at the Dark Skies TV show that Bryce Abel co-produced back in the 1990s. They came out with a movie called Dark Skies, and nobody asked Bryce Abel for permission. They did it. The movie, I guess, did sort of okay, made back what they invested on it. So there you go. Titles, you know, may not be that important, but to Don Ecker it's important because he's been doing that show for 20 years. And he does a damn good job. But again, we're not attacking Art Bell personally. I don't know the man. I don't think I've ever written to him. I haven't talked to him. I wish him luck if he can reestablish his radio career. And that's it. There you go. Is that an attack on Art Bell?
Well, I mean, it's pointing out the obvious, I think. But, you know, what do I know? That our same poster complained that I ask complicated questions and majority of the questions I ask are from our listeners. So make them succinct there, folks.
So basically, if you ask a question with more than one syllable.
It's a complicated subject, Gene. Sometimes you have to qualify parts of your question. I do ask involved questions at times because this is a very, involved subject, and sometimes it's impossible to ask a five-word sentence in the form of a question. It takes longer.
A lot of times you have to have conditions, if, ands, or buts. This is not a simple subject, which is one of the things we've pointed to over the years in regard to the paranormal. I mean, we want to have a simple answer. We want the Reader's Digest explanation for the UFO mystery. We want to know, for example, okay, UFOs are spaceships. The government is hiding the secret. That's the end of the story. When we see spirits or strange apparitions in haunted houses, okay, it's Uncle Harry coming back from the dead. And he wants to send a message to you. Simple answer. Maybe it's true. But a lot of times you look at these things and you find out that may not be the entire answer. So you have to ask a more involved question. And we're not going to shirk from that. If there are complicated questions to answer, we'll ask them. If it requires a complicated answer to the complicated question, which sounds almost like a tongue twister, we'll expect that of our guests because we want to know what's happening, not whether it fits within the definition of Reader's Digest.
Yeah, or Cliff Note.
Oh, yeah, got to have the Cliff Notes. Of course, now people named Cliff will say that we've attacked them.
Jeez. Oh, boy. Well, Gene, I don't know. You can be some things to some people, but you can't be all things to all people or something like that.
I think someone said something like that. You can please some of the people some of the time or something like that.
But you can't please all the people all the time.
No.
So doing our best here, kind and gentle listeners.
I don't know that we do our best. We don't expect to please a lot of people. We expect to please a few so we keep the show going. And obviously we have more and more listeners every month, so some people appear to feel that we're doing a good job. And we have other people who don't want to listen because they think we attacked Art Bell or their sacred cow, or they think we run too many commercials and don't want to bother skipping them. I don't know. What can I say? I would say that one of the most popular subjects in recent years in the paranormal field has been the subject of crop circles. Of course, when we had Nancy Talbot on the show, some of the most wide-ranging forum threads were opened about her and about the interview we did with this psychic she deals with, Robert Vandenbroek. And then we had Colin Andrews, who's the guy who pretty much invented the term crop circles. We had him on. We had a lot of comments and questions about it. Now, on today's episode, we're going to feature someone who contacted us after we had Colin Andrews on the show, someone who has actually created crop circles. One of those people. His name is Matthew Williams, and according to his bio, he was once busted for that offense.
Well, you know, whatever claim to fame you need to hang your hat on. I've been looking forward to speaking with Williams for a number of years since he first surfaced and did some pretty interesting exposés online concerning the Circle Makers and Team Satan, John Lundgren, and others who have claimed to be behind many of the most elaborate and beautiful of the crop circle formations, that it's all art in the field, that sort of thing. I do think we're going to have a very lively and fun time with Matthew. And we, like you said, Gene, we have a ton of questions in the question bank. Hopefully we can get to most of them.
We'll try to combine them, and we'll ask a few of our own first. But this is just going to be something I'm really looking forward to. Because anytime you've seen pictures of crop circles, it's an incredible amount of artwork. And I'm lucky enough to basically draw a stick figure on a piece of paper. I can kind of do that. I can kind of do a little bit with digital artwork. But crop circles, the mind boggles. It really does. I don't know how I could do anything like that. Chris, I expect you probably could. There's a crop circle maker somewhere in there.
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Well, we've got one who does do the crop circles.
You need to have the motivation, Gene. I don't have the motivation to perpetrate hoaxes or to create designs in fields or carve up cows in a field or whatever.
We've got Matthew Williams, the guy or one of the guys who makes crop circles. Coming up next with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, I've wondered over the years just how and why anyone would want to make a crop circle. As I said to our listeners, I'm bad enough at stick figure artwork with pen and paper. I can do a little bit of digital artwork because I let the computer figure it out for me. But just going out into a field, I don't know. I think I'm a hermit. That's the problem. We've got Matthew Williams here, who's one of the people who's done it, been there, done that. But it says here from your bio, Matthew, and welcome to the Paracast, by the way, that you're a former British government customs and excise officer. Does that mean you're the guy at the airport who checks out things when you're making an international trip?
Well, I never actually got into the frontline stuff. I was more of an office type, working in VAT, which is like tax. I don't know if you call it VAT over in the States, but certainly call it tax. Yeah, it was a paperwork job, and I started working there for a couple of years in personnel, worked my way into VAT and criminal investigations as well. But again, it sounds a lot more glamorous than it was, because I was the guy that used to look after the vehicles and things like that and do all the paperwork and servicing and things, so wasn't quite as frontline as you might think.
You were the bureaucrat behind the scenes.
I was the guy that made it work for the guys who were on the front line. The most impressive stuff I ever did was sometimes drive to the laboratory of the government chemist in London with sacks full of cocaine and drugs. Sometimes cannabis in the back of a car can smell so strongly that by the time you get from South Wales, an hour and a half's journey, you're pretty stoned by the time you get there at London.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did that really happen to you?
That really happened, yeah. There was two of us in the car once, an officer and myself, and he was getting quite paranoid. And I said, let's pull over at a service station and just get some air, because the sort of smell in the car is quite extreme here. And he was too paranoid to pull over in the service station. So I said, well, look, you know what, just close the doors whilst I go in the garage. You just lock the doors, you'll be okay, you know. And he was like, yeah, but what if somebody tries to steal the stuff? And I'm like, I don't think they know we've got it in the car. We're okay.
You also have to stop to get, like, potato chips and munchies and stuff.
That's what I was trying to, you know, say to him, is, you know, let's go and get some food and some some drinks. And, you know, he didn't want to do it, so, yeah.
All right, so from that business, how did you get into this business, the world of the paranormal? I gather you had a UFO sighting?
I did, back in 1991, and I was still working for Customs and Excise near around that time. I started getting interested in the subjects of the paranormal and UFOs. It led to me going out and interviewing people, doing the investigations work that a UFO investigator does. I started to produce a magazine called Truth Seekers Review. And this magazine was, you know, just a photocopied paper thing, really, not a magazine per se, not glossy. You know, we had a sort of well-respected readership. I was friendly with a lot of the big magazines, and I was writing articles for them as well. So my name was getting known around the UK. I was appearing on TV shows and regularly asked to speak on radio shows about the UFO subject. I became pretty well known, and my employers didn't like this. The government were not keen to have somebody like me working for them. So things started getting very awkward at work. Let's put it like that. And in the end, I was sacked. So I lost my job, and they made it quite clear that they were going to get rid of me. And the way they did it was rather underhanded. You're a technical person, Gene, so you might appreciate this. I was asked to design a database for our department. And what they actually sacked me for was putting the icons to start the database on my desktop. They were quite happy to have the database, but I was not allowed to put the icons on my desktop. That was a breach of departmental security, apparently, and that's what I lost my job for. Can you believe it?
It hardly makes sense to me.
Well, you and me as well. I mean, my immediate boss, you could see when he was speaking to me about this, he was looking down at the floor. It was like he didn't want to have to tell me that he was going to get rid of me. They were sort of putting me on suspension. You could see that this guy was kind of showing me with his eyes that this was what he was being told to do. I'm one of those guys that lost their job because of interest in the UFO subject.
What do you do now for a day job?
Not an awful lot, to be honest. I have repaired computers quite a bit over the years, but at the moment, not working. It kind of goes with the artist lifestyle, I think. Yeah, it's mostly dedicated to the crop circle subject, and I've sort of taken up a lot of my time with speaking to people about this, you know, writing on journals and doing a YouTube channel. I even had my own little TV program for a couple of years. We did this thing called Circle Makers TV. And that was quite an interesting experience, bringing the Circle Makers on the air. You know, I'm a technical person. I work behind the scenes at various live events. You know, I'm sort of the technician type guy that plugs it all in, turns it on, makes the graphics come up on the screen. You know, that's the sort of thing I tend to do. I've dedicated my life to helping people understand UFO paranormal.
Let's go back to the beginning. You had this UFO experience in 1991. Can you give us the tales of the sighting?
Absolutely, yes. I remember it very clearly. It's like one of those things you never forget. Myself and a friend of mine were driving across a mountain road. The place was called the Rhondda Valleys, which is South Wales. I was going off to do some video editing work in a studio. And I drove across this mountain road, and as you come across one mountain pass onto the next side of the mountain, you get the nice vista of the next valley. At the time, it was nighttime, but there was a moon quite prominent in the sky, so we could see the walls of the valley and the cliffs and the road, and it was very interesting sort of driving, you know, with a strong moon. As I rounded this corner, I could see quite clearly an orange triangular light sitting upright on the side of the hill opposite, and this was observable. Whilst I was driving, I was looking at the road and I was looking at this object back and forth. I had to sort of keep my eyes on the road. So eventually, about 30 seconds after I'd first spotted this thing, a line of trees came into sight. I stopped the car and I'd kind of been squinting at it, but I hadn't drawn my friend's attention to it. I'd just been looking back and forth, back and forth. And the reason I hadn't drawn his attention to it is because we quite often get mountain fires in South Wales, and these mountain fires would possibly look like something of this nature. But as I was looking and trying to analyze it, I could realize that it had shimmering edges, but it wasn't flames. And it was a uniform orange color across the whole face of this thing. But my brain wasn't really taking in the enormity of what I was seeing. So I was kind of like, what is this? What is this? But I didn't sort of bring my friend's attention to it. I stopped the car. At that point, then I said to him, did you just see that? And he said, see what? And I said, did you just see the orange thing over there? And he said, nope, I didn't see it. He said, I was looking at the mountainside. And I'm like, okay. So I reversed the car up, and we're only talking a few seconds now. Clear the tree line, and there's nothing there. All I can say is that's what started me off with the UFO interest. I mean, I had read books as a child. I had a sort of interest in the paranormal and reading stuff on this. But I mean, I must be honest, I was quite skeptical up to that point. I was the type of person that thought, well, maybe people make these things up, or they're just misidentifying things. I was a very level-headed kid. I remember that night I went over to the video studio and did the work that I had to do. Then I drove back home over the same road, quite clearly remember I didn't even look in the direction that thing had been, and then 5 days later, it was like somebody had chucked a bucket of water in my face, and I had this sudden realization that 5 days ago, I was driving across the mountain, saw this strange thing. I couldn't understand why 5 days had gone by, and my brain had just kind of compartmentalized this and put it away.
Okay. I've got Matthew Williams joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Wise up, load up at freeze-dryguy.com. Now is the time to get the freeze-dried meats, fruits, and vegetables you want from Wise, on sale at freeze-dryguy.com. This delicious, nutritious food is perfect for your emergency preparedness or outdoor recreational needs. It's the food with a 25-year shelf life you see exclusively featured on the popular Doomsday Preppers TV show. It's the same quality line of food the lovely Marie Osmond has been touting all across America. It's the wise investment in your family's future that personal finance expert and radio host Dave Ramsey has been talking about. And it's on sale now through Cyber Monday, December 2nd at freestrikeguide.com. So wise up, shop online now or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Make the wise food choice. It's easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and easy to buy on sale now at freestrikeguide.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Uncover a simple privacy loophole that can stop the NSA spying thugs in their tracks at privacylockdown.com. The NSA has already shut down hundreds of sites, and to truth be told, they could shut down this operation at any time. See, the privacy loophole I'm about to show you allows you to make all your sensitive information disappear in the next 30 days or less. Go to privacylockdown.com now to take your life off the grid and see the loophole in the NSA and FBI spying machine before they close the loophole forever. Go to privacylockdown.com.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Trauma Max, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Trauma Max is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
On the Paracast, we have Matthew Williams, someone who makes crop circles. And what is this five-day thing you're talking about? Is that mean you lost 5 days of time?
No. I was fully aware of what I was doing after I'd had this strange sighting. You know, I went out doing everything that you would normally do, you know, but I was just in the house. I was doing some menial stuff, and it was literally like a realization came across me that 5 days previously I'd had this strange sighting of something which I cannot categorize. I cannot find an explanation at all for this thing. And it made me think, you know, am I actually sure I did I see that? Because, I mean, why would 5 days go by? This doesn't make any sense. It's almost like as if I'd had a dream. And I thought, well, if it was a dream, then, you know, my friend was there. Let's give him a ring and make sure that I actually had this sighting, because I mentioned it to him. So I rang him up and I said, did I say to you when we were driving across the mountain that I saw something? He said, yeah, you did say something about it. I said, and I didn't mention it for the rest of the evening. Nope. I said, I didn't even look over there when I drove back. And he said, no. And I said, well, I'm just realizing now. And I went through it with him and said, you know, why am I remembering 5 days later what I saw? It's literally like it's a glitch in your normal everyday reality. It's something that you don't expect to see. And I just don't know why my brain couldn't deal with it or put it to one side for 5 days. That, to me, is quite bizarre.
Did you make an attempt to see if anybody else had seen this object? Were there other sightings around the area at the time? Did you do any sort of research into that event?
I didn't into that one, because it's such a remote area where this mountain passes that you know, you can actually see the cars that are going up there when you're driving up the mountain. It takes such a long time. It takes about 10, 15 minutes to drive over there, and I was probably the only car. It's one of those things that you just know that nobody else would be there. It's so remote. In that instance, I didn't, but I did go back to the place where I had the sighting, and I climbed up this mountain face in exactly the position where I would have seen this. That is a thing called a cairn mound, which is a set of stones which has been put there by an ancient civilization, ancient people, as a burial site or sometimes as a marker point for energies. And I know that these are, in the texts that are out there, places where people have strange encounters and see strange things. So, you know, a cairn mound, I see this object above it. What does that mean?
It's an interesting introduction to UFOs. So you were hooked after this, pretty much.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I had to, you know, sort of look into the subject more. I had to go and find out a lot more about it. And I started to see myself as somebody that had a strange experience and couldn't explain it. It made me think, well, other people might have these experiences as well. You know, they maybe are in the same position I'm in now. You can't reconcile what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's move past this a little bit.
Let's move past this, yeah, sorry.
And let's start wondering here, what got you interested, now that you're interested in UFOs, what got you interested specifically in crop circles? How did that begin?
Well, my interest, you know, led on to investigations. I was kind of like South Wales's, you know, number one well-known researcher at the time. And we were putting on conferences, and we had people like John Mack, the famous Harvard professor, came to speak at the conference along with Colin Andrews. And Colin was a recent guest on your show, and I've come to know Colin quite well as the premier researcher in crop circles. He was at this conference, the Cardiff UFO conference, the first of its type, by the way. It was quite an unusual thing for Wales to have a conference like this. And I was sitting there, and I realized that this guy who was talking about these crop circles, I hadn't ever heard about crop circles. I had books on UFOs and the paranormal, ghosts, spontaneous human combustion, the whole gamut. But for some reason, crop circles were something that was completely unknown to me. And there he was, Colin Andrews, standing up there and talking about this amazing phenomena, which, unlike ghosts or areas of the paranormal where you can't get your hands on it because it doesn't hang around, the ghost doesn't sort of stay there for you to kind of grab it and do something with it. You know, the subject of crop circles sounded fascinating because it was something that you could go and visit, you could walk around, you could take a photograph, you could sort of explain some of it by human-made messes, but, you know, the complicated stuff we were being told that Colin was talking to us about was definitely something that couldn't be created by humans. And I thought, well, wow, you know, this is something I've got to go and look at. So, you know, Wales and Wiltshire, they're about 80 miles apart. So, you know, it's not a great drive for me to go over and have a look. So I found myself visiting Wiltshire during the summer, I think 1990, 1991. You know, they were the sort of first years involved in going down to the area. And I met a lot of very interesting people and saw some quite interesting crop circles. So that's how my interest started. But where it changes direction is that I came to different conclusions about who or what might be making the crop circles.
All right. So at the beginning, when you first got interested in crop circles, what did you think then, and how did your expectations change?
Well, initially we were told that there was strange electromagnetic effects in crop circles, and that these couldn't be replicated by people because there were strange nodal bends at the knuckles. And these knuckles are like your sort of knuckle on your finger. You know, it's where the joint changes direction. And on a plant, where that you have this little knuckle, there's an expanded region that, when it bends over in a crop circle, would split open. And this splitting would then have burning around the edges. And this burning was determined to be from microwaves or from a heat source. And we were told that there was no way that this obviously could be done by humans. And it sounds you know, sort of fantastic and sounds like something that you would imagine couldn't be done by people. Then there would be talk about underlying paths, you know, that the crop was laid out in certain directions that couldn't be replicated by people, and that certainly the designs were, you know, something that people would find very hard to do, especially out at night, you know, when it's very dark, and you know, how could people possibly do this? So, you know, when you listen to the researchers that were around at the time when I first started, I mean, a lot of this sounds quite plausible, you know, and unless you get yourself involved, as I did, then you may be swayed to thinking that these things are impossible for people to create. But I went out to find out, you know, what the possibilities were, and I found out the very different answer. And the rest became history.
Okay, let's talk more about the history. So when you went out to see what was going on, what did you discover? How did you discover it? And before you answer, we have about a minute and 20 seconds for this segment. So let's start here and continue in the next one.
Okay, well, going out into the crop fields of Wiltshire, you're going to meet a lot of people that have had weird experiences. So, I mean, in and amongst the actual crop circles themselves, you'll start hearing the stories of the strange and weird things that happen in crop circles. And this kind of colours your opinion, I think, on what you're seeing. It can influence you. So you basically become more sort of pro to the idea that these things can't be done by people. But in the cold clinical sort of analysis of what you're seeing, you realize that some of these plants have been sort of damaged, that there are marks on them, and that the marks would indicate some sort of mechanical pressing motion, that there is snapping, and there are scrapings on the edge of the plants that also mean that you know, some sort of mechanical influence has been exerted. When I first put this forward to the other researchers around me, I was told, well, that's just because you weren't there early enough. And obviously people have walked around this crop circle, and therefore that walking has caused the damage. So, you know, unless you're there very, very early, you'll never know the truth.
We're going to find out more of the truth about making a crop circle. In case you want to try it yourself, maybe we should have you do a book called Making Crop Circles for Dummies, if there isn't one already. We have Matthew Williams joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
We
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Hey, Chris, that's an idea. We should get together with Matthew Williams and do Making Crop Circles for Dummies, or at least to include me in this book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Making Crop Circles.
Crop Circles for Dummies.
You like that one, huh?
Okay. I do.
Matthew, tell us more.
Yeah, there is actually a thing called The Field Guide, which is a book that's been written by Mark Culkington and Rob Irving. And you can have a look at how you could actually make a crop circle from that book. But, I mean, back in my day, there wasn't any such book. And, you know, the only people you could speak to were people like Colin Andrews, Busty Taylor, and Lucy Pringle, all of the general experts who'd been at this for a long time looking for answers. But I took what I was hearing from Colin as an example, and I tried to apply it to what I was seeing in the fields, and I couldn't reconcile what I was being told in these lectures that I would find from what I was seeing. As I said, that some people had explained to me, if I'm seeing damage, it's probably because I wasn't there early enough. So it became to me obvious that what I needed to do was try and get information about when these circles were going to appear and be there really early in the morning. Now, that involved either having a good network of contacts who would tell you when the crop circles had been reported as appearing, so you could get out there, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock a.m. and be there first and then see whether there's any damage. Also, you can do sky watching, you know, which will take you through the night. And then if you're lucky enough, you'll be in one of the areas where the sun will come up and a crop circle will be there in front of you. And then you have obviously got the advantage of being one of the very first people to go into the crop circle. So this is what I did. I tried to get the information to get there early. And lo and behold, on some occasions, there were crop circles that appeared beneath where I was sky watching. One famous place that we do sky watching in Wiltshire is called Knapp Hill. And you used to have, 10 or 20 people on occasions, some people camping all night long. Stephen Greer would turn up sometimes in the summer with his group and lasers and lights. And we'd all mingle together. And as I say, you'd get into the crop circles very early. So that's how I started. I got in there early and Yet I didn't find quite what I was expecting to find. I found that there were still scratch marks on the plants and that they looked like they were mechanical sort of affairs going on, and it looked like the work of people. And I quite quickly, in those early years, decided that it probably was people, but what I needed to do was to speak to the people involved. And I learned that from speaking to other researchers, that there was a big taboo involved in this, because the circle makers were not the sorts of people that you would want to fraternize with or speak to. But being somebody, perhaps my Welsh upbringing, you know, slightly rebellious, I didn't want to sort of follow the flow. I wanted to have answers. And I thought, well, if these people are there, let's go and speak to them. Let's not be, you know, let's not be sort of offended by their existence. Let's go and find out the proof and find out the answers by speaking to the people and see whether they've got anything worth saying. So I went out, spoke to the circle makers, and made friends with them as much as one can, because the circle makers back then were very, very hard to approach, I suppose is the best word.
Give us a time frame now. This is what, 93 by now, or?
Yeah, this is like I would have met a few circle makers along the way, but not spoken to them. By about 93, I was starting to approach these circle makers, and I had in fact made a couple of small circles by then. But these were just experimental little circles to sort of, you know, see how the crop can be flattened down by a person. Yeah, it wasn't until about 1993 that, you know, I started approaching some of the circle makers in the pub called the Barge Inn. This is where people tended to meet up. And I got some really bad reactions off some of them. You know, they were kind of, well, you're a crop circle researcher, aren't you? You know, we can't speak to you. And I couldn't understand why there was this kind of resentment towards researchers. I kind of understand it now, because you know, it's because of all the bad sort of things that people say about circle makers when they don't know them, you know, which is, I get this myself. I mean, I get accused of all sorts of things. But, you know, back to the point, it is, I went to this pub and tried to make friends with these circle makers, and they didn't want to speak to me. I thought to myself, well, how do you get to speak to a circle maker? How do you sort of really prove to them that you're somebody they can trust? And I thought, well, one way to do it is to actually make a crop circle.
Not knowing how to do it before, do you have an artistic background here?
I do, yes. I mean, I was involved with art at school and technical drawing as well, so architectural technical drawing. I was always good at that sort of stuff, as well as computers. Not so hot at maths, but I think the geometry that you get in architectural drawing, that sort of certainly puts you in a stead for understanding ways that you could measure things out to sort of draw sort of shapes at night. You've got to understand a little bit about measurements. And yeah, so I do have a background in that area. I'm quite sort of logical in the way I approach the designs. You have to actually scale these things up, which is another thing technical drawing can help you with. So you can take a drawing that's only, you know, 30 centimeters across on a page, and you have to scale that up to provide measurements and angles that you can take out into a field and work at in complete darkness. So, yeah, I do have a sort of background in that.
So the beginning here is that you have to start with a drawing, or you don't just go out there and do something. You have to have a plan, a game plan.
You do, but as you become more and more experienced, then there are certain principles which it's kind of hard over a radio show to explain, but I'll give you, there's a magical number, which is six. And some people might go, oh, you know, why this number six? Is that, you know, sort of like a sinister number? And it's part of the reason I call myself on the internet, I call myself Truth Seekers 666, and oh boy, I don't half get a lot of hassle for that. But the reason is because people misunderstand this number six, and it's not necessarily a negative number. It's actually in sort of design terms quite an interesting number, because the radius of a circle, which is the distance from the middle point of the circle to the outer circumference edge. So if you've got a compass and you're drawing a circle, you need that radius distance. If you take that radius distance and put it along the edge of the circle, i.e. in the circle a bit, that's known as the circumference, it fits perfectly six times. And I don't know if many people know that, but I always try to show them on paper, you know, that this is actually a very, very simple geometrical trick that you can do to create quite a lot of interesting shapes. So with one measurement, which is your radius, which is basically one person standing with their heel on the ground, they measure out the tape measure to a set distance to another person who uses his heel to walk sideways to create the line of the crop circle. That measurement, if you maintain that measurement, once you've done that circular edge, if you go out to the edge and you measure six of those same radiuses around the edge, it will meet back at the point where you started. And then you can put in a six-sided shape. You can put in a Star of David, a triangle, sets of triangles, radiation symbols. All sorts of things can be measured out with this simple basic measurement. And I found that fascinating. But, I mean, it's something that you learn you can do, which doesn't require a design. So to answer your point, yes, you do need a lot of control over the designs that you use if you're going to do something which doesn't use this simple geometry. But there are some things that you can do without a design. If you had to, you could just run out into a field and do one of these complicated six-fold geometries without any real design.
Early on, there was a perception that crop circles were symbols of ET in some way, related to the UFO mystery. But
yeah,
all you're
sure.
telling us is that some very smart and talented people are going out in the fields and doing works of art.
Well, you're probably familiar with the name Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley, Doug and Dave, they used to be called. These artists that decided,
yeah.
they've kind of got themselves a bad name because, you know, people in the crop circle community say, well, you know, well, who are these horrible people? Why would they do this? You know, why are they trying to sort of confuse things? And do they work for the government? Were they paid to say these things? And I really do believe that these guys went out and did this as they say they did. They were very interested in art, and one of them was interested in UFOs. And you've probably heard the story about him seeing a story about a UFO saucer nest in Tully in Queensland.
Right,
when
he was 66.
That's the one, yeah. And he was living in Australia at the time. This is Doug Bauer. He came back to the United Kingdom with this story in his head. You know, we've got these great wheat fields. They look so serene, and the landscape is wonderful in the summer with wheat and rapeseed, the yellow plants and the brownish plants. And it looks lovely. You know, you've got these great vistas which are overlooking these fields. And as an artist, he would spend his time doing watercolors and, you know, walking the hills. He was a wildlife sound recordist. So this guy was out in nature all the time.
We have Matthew Williams joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.